This is the Daily Radio Ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of 1 Corinthians. Mr. Carnal is the title of Pastor Sandy's message, and today he'll be teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, Paul writes, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" There's an all-American folk song called Billy Boy. Here's a stanza. "Oh, where have you been, Billy Boy, Billy Boy? Oh, where have you been, charming Billy? I have been to seek a wife. She's the joy of my life. She's a young thing and cannot leave her mother." Here's more of the song. "Did she bid you to come in, Billy Boy, Billy Boy? Did she bid you to come in, charming Billy? Yes, she bade me to come in. There's a dimple in her chin. She's a young thing and cannot leave her mother." Well, as the song goes on, you learn that this young thing, she has a dimple in her chin. She makes cherry pie. She even has ringlets in her hair. But there's a problem. For charming Billy is in love with a girl who apparently is too young to leave home. She's a young thing and cannot leave her mother. The line gives you the impression that Billy's girl is still a teenager. But listen to the final stanza. "How old is she, Billy Boy, Billy Boy? How old is she, charming Billy? 3 times 6 and 4 times 7, 28 and 11. She's a young thing and cannot leave her mother." Whoa! Billy's girl is not such a young thing after all. Add it up. 3 times 6 and 4 times 7, that's 46. Then 28 and 11? Billy's young thing is 85 years old. All of a sudden, you're concerned about Billy's girl. This folk song is talking about a dysfunctional personality. I mean, by the time you're 85, you're expected to have grown up and moved out. If you're still clutching on to mama's apron strings at 85, there's something wrong. It's time to stop being a young thing and mature. And the same is true for us spiritually. This was Paul's concern about the Christians in Corinth. This church also was full of dysfunctional believers. At this stage in the development of their faith, Paul expected them to show some maturity. Instead, they were acting like babes. They were legitimate believers, certainly, but their spiritual growth was being stunted. In fact, Paul coins a term to describe them. In chapter 3, Paul refers to the believers in Corinth as carnal. 1 Corinthians 3 begins, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." Paul had hoped to speak to the Corinthians as spiritual people, but he could not. Realize, in today's world, a lot gets categorized under the banner of spiritual. The term has been broadened to include anything relating to the non-tangible world. Everything from animism to altruism, from yoga stretching to the occult, from Buddhism to belly button meditation gets labeled spiritual. It's become a catch-all term for anything non-material. When folks today talk of being spiritual, it can mean anything from them attending an AA meeting to being a white witch. But Paul's idea of spiritual and natural is far more specific. The spiritual man has the Holy Spirit, not just any spirit. He carries in him the mind of Christ. As Paul said back in chapter 2, verse 8, the spiritual man recognizes the Jesus who the rulers crucified as the Lord of glory. Now remember in chapter 2, Paul divided humanity into two groups, the natural man and the spiritual man. The natural man or woman is the person who doesn't know Christ. Humans are sinners by nature, We're born alienated from God. In fact, Paul says that to the natural man, the things of God are foolishness. On our own, the natural man or woman has no supernatural ability. And thus, left to themselves, they spiral toward destruction. Sin and rebellion, ignorance and prejudice just come natural for the natural man. The natural person's only input is from what's physical or what's cosmetic or what's temporary. That's where he or she leans for their fulfillment. And this is what destines them for disappointment. But eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, what is available to the man or woman who has God's Spirit. For the spiritual man or woman is animated by the love of God. The Holy Spirit dwells inside them to convey to them the deep things of God. He gives them the desire to love God and to serve others. The Spirit of God makes us privy to the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the Christian's extra sense, his superpower. The Holy Spirit is what enables us to know God. Of course, this doesn't mean that the spiritual person will be a perfect person. He or she still lives in a body prone to sin. And when we commit the inevitable, it grieves us. For the sin that we've committed goes against the nature we've been given, that nature that loves God and loves others. This is why every Christian needs to grow in their faith. We need to learn to live out who we really are in Christ. And so, there is the natural man and there is the spiritual man. But here in chapter 3, Paul brings up another type of person. He calls this man or woman the carnal person. The Latin word carne, it means flesh. And I think Latin whenever I eat a bowl of Kathy Adams's chili. For my wife puts lots of flesh in her chili. Lots and lots of meat. Lots of flesh in that chili. That's what makes it chili con carne. Or chili with meat. Carnal describes a believer, a potentially spiritual person, but a believer whose life is oriented toward the flesh. He or she knows God, but they live as if they don't. Now realize, in his letters, Paul uses two very similarly sounding words in different ways. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul speaks of God writing his law on human hearts. He says, God's Spirit writes his will on tablets of flesh. The Greek word here is sarkinos, or what we could translate as fleshy. It means human and living as opposed to stone tablets. Now realize there's nothing intrinsically wicked about the flesh, about the human epidermis, about our bodies. God never said that there was anything evil about the human body and its functions. It was the heretical group known as the Gnostics that adopted the unbiblical dichotomy that spirit is good and that flesh is evil. And thus praying or reading your Bible is more pleasing to God than eating or having sex with your wife. That's not necessarily true. Both are holy and pleasing to God when done to His glory and honor. Enjoying a day in the park with your kids can be just as spiritual as a day of fasting and praying in the church. You see, the spiritual person doesn't stop living in the real world. He or she is still fleshy. We like to eat and sleep. We like to groom. At least some of us like to groom. We like to work out. We like the fleshy life that God has given us. Fleshy isn't sinful. Yet here, when Paul writes of being carnal, he uses a different Greek word. Rather than sarkinos or fleshy, it's sarkikos. It's from the same root word, flesh, but it carries a different sense. We could translate it fleshly. And there's a difference between fleshy and fleshly. See, it's one thing to be human, to be in this flesh, to live a life that God has given us, to enjoy life here on the earth. But it's another to do so with our backs to God. As if all that exists is what's physical and outward and temporal, as if the only satisfaction obtainable to us is what's to be had from this life. To live that way is to be carnal or fleshly. It's to have God, but it's to live life ignoring Him. You see, the carnal Christian possesses God's Spirit, but the Spirit doesn't possess him. He hasn't allowed God to shape and color his outlook. Rather than live submitted to God and to the glory of God, the carnal person is still governed by what's around him and his sinful urges and his natural appetites. The course of his or her life is always drifting away from God rather than navigating towards him. Actually, the New Testament will often speak of a person who tries to please God but does so in the flesh, as if it's up to him and his strength. She's leaning on her own human effort rather than God's power. It's all about our pride. In fact, you can even serve God while being carnal. Sadly, you see this all the time. Christians doing things for God, even in the name of God, but not in the way that Jesus taught us to do them. When a Christian bullies or manipulates or pressures, rather than rely on God's Spirit and being spiritual, they are acting carnal. And this was the problem that Paul saw in Corinth. No one was living under the influence of the Holy Spirit. No one was relying on God's power. No one was maturing in their faith. As Paul put it, they were all babes in Christ. A couple of years ago, I saw an NBC News article entitled, "Big Baby Boom, Supersized Deliveries Have Doctors Worried." It seems that over the last few decades, there's been a spike in the birth of big babies. Recently, a Pennsylvania woman had a 13-pound, 12-ounce little girl. A German baby weighed in at 13 and a half pounds. This year, a Florida baby set a hospital record. Avery Ford was born 14 pounds and 1 ounce. In the last 7 years, baby weights have risen 16%. But not even Avery Ford tops the British baby, Little George. His name is George King. You could call him King George. He weighed in 15 pounds and 7 ounces at birth. His father, Ryan, took back the infant clothes they had and brought him home from the hospital in PJs meant for a six-month-old. At 6 weeks, George was 26 inches long. Today, hospitals are seeing a rash of big babies, but so are churches. There are believers in Jesus who appear to be grown, but spiritually they're still infants. Understand, it's okay to be born a big baby as long as you don't stay a big baby. We need to mature. Nowhere in the scriptures will you find playpens or pacifiers or teething toys in heaven. Between getting saved and going to heaven, God wants us to grow up. When my daughter-in-laws were pregnant, they both had received interesting baby shower gifts. I'd never seen these things. It wasn't around when I was parenting little boys. It's called a PPTP. A PPTP. The name alone gives away its purpose. It's a device that assists in the changing of a baby boy's diaper. A washable cloth cone caps off a certain part of the male anatomy. It protects the diaper changer from being fired on by an uncontrollable bladder. I can't believe it's just now being invented and being marketed to new parents. Where was this when I was changing diapers? I'm sure a regular diaper changer's first priority is to help their little boy get his bladder under control. But until then, the PPTP is a good idea. But understand, this is God's immediate goal for the Christian. He wants us to live under control, under the control of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want us to be carnal or fleshly or orientated toward the things of this world. I mean, rather than just spray about and live randomly without a clear aim, a real purpose. You didn't get that, did you? No, God wants our lives to be targeted on the things of the kingdom. He wants you and me to live under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You see, a spiritual person is under control, whereas a baby and a carnal Christian are two people out of control. And often we assume that our out-of-control immaturity is the result of an insufficient diet. Oh, if we were just being fed better, we'd be stronger. If the pastor did a better job of spiritually feeding his flock, then folks would grow. His sermons must lack the proper spiritual nutrients. This is how a lot of Christians like to explain their juvenile faith. Rather than take responsibility for themselves and for their family, it's easier for them to just blame their immaturity on the church. Well, the pastor's boring, the youth are half-hearted, the kids get neglected, and the answer becomes a change of scenery. But Paul says the problem in Corinth was just the opposite. It wasn't the lack of solid food that caused their carnality. It was their carnality that impaired them or impaired their ability to digest the food that Paul wanted to feed them. He tells them in verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. You see, the problem with the Corinthians wasn't the food in the cupboard. It was their inability to chew and to swallow that food. This limited them to sipping milk. Their own carnality created their dietary deficiency. You know, you'll find some Bible passages, they require the reader to have some teeth. You got to chew on it. You got to mull it over. You got to break it down before you can digest its truth. Hebrews 5, verse 13 tells us, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, the spiritual meat eaters, they've grown some teeth. By reason of use, they have sharpened their spiritual senses. Spiritual maturity takes more than just adding spiritual calories, just packing on more knowledge. It involves you applying what you learn. You take a biblical truth. You exercise it in real life. You put it into practice. That's what adds muscle to your faith. Muscles grow when you exercise them. The same is true with faith. In other words, if God is teaching you to trust Him, well, then start with your money. Give an offering. Dare to trust God and step out in faith. If He's dealing with your fears, then identify one and face it head on. If He's teaching you patience, well, then get involved with some teenagers. Hey, to grow spiritually, you have to start applying what you're learning. The carnal Christian instead, though, looks around and thinks the grass is greener, but he's not watering his own lawn. Oh, it's cute to watch a newborn nurse or suck on a bottle. But if it's an 18-year-old still chugging Similac, we would consider it despicable. And this was the problem in Corinth. Their carnality had kept them from growing up. Actually, one way to tell if you're a babe or if you're a maturing Christian is to ask, what's my spiritual diet? The carnal Christian sips skim milk. It's all his digestive tract can handle. Whereas a mature believer orders filet mignon. He enjoys hearty, meaty Bible studies. A carnal Christian enjoys Bible stories, but lacks a taste for Bible doctrine. A babe in Christ wants to know about God, but a spiritual man aspires to know God himself. The carnal Christian marvels at what God does, whereas the spiritual person wants to worship who God is. A spiritual baby likes learning biblical principles that serve his own interests, but he falls short of adopting a biblical perspective that changes his outlook. The carnal Christian can have a mind full of Bible facts, but a spiritual person has a heart full of love. Again, it's okay to be a spiritual babe for a season, but too many believers stay put. They never graduate kindergarten and grow on to be a mature Christian. Here in verse 3, Paul goes on to list another defining characteristic of the carnal Christian. He says, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Envy, strife, division. You could sum those things up by saying the inability to get along with others. This is proof of a Christian's immaturity. And this is what was happening in the church at Corinth. This church was the equivalent of a spiritual nursery. The believers were acting like babies. They were demanding their own way, refusing to cooperate with each other. In the Corinthian church, when it came to attitude, there wasn't much difference with what was going on in the sanctuary and what was going on down the hall in the toddler's room. You see, carnal believers and babies have lots of similarities. For one, they whine when they don't get their way. How quickly a toddler will stick out his bottom lip and pout. I've seen it in babies, and I've seen it in carnal Christians. In fact, I think this is the number one enemy of today's church. Think about this. We live in a culture that wants to ban prayer in the Bible from the public square. A culture that condones abortion, that mocks Christian morality, that is redefining gender and marriage, that embraces false religion, that may soon brand the Bible's teaching on homosexuality as hate speech. These are huge battles, aren't they? These things should concern us. And yet churches today are quibbling and squabbling over the pettiest of stuff. Carnal Christians don't like the style of music, or the colors in the sanctuary, or the order of the service, or the length of the sermon. Friends, we're at war. The church needs a wartime mentality. Instead, we act like spoiled brats. Hey, changes are going to occur in our country very, very soon. Christianity's about to cost us. When being a Christian starts to hurt, we'll set aside our pettiness. We'll learn to love one another. But if we did it now, perhaps God would send us the revival that we desperately need. And yet carnal Christians and newborns, they have other similarities. They can't stand on their own, and thus they have to be held. This is true of a child and of a new believer. You know, when I dedicate a baby, often I have to hold its neck, have to hold its head up. The neck muscles haven't developed enough to brace the weight of its head. It has to be supported. And the same is true of the faith of a new Christian. As long as a carnal Christian is in the right company and is exposed to the right environment, he or she will grow. They'll feed off the faith of others. But remove the external props and the faith begins to flop. Carnal Christians have to learn to stand on their own. They can't always be held by others. Another problem that babies and carnal Christians have in common is a lack of discernment. They're easily deceived. This week I had the opportunity to spend a little time with my 2-year-old grandkids, and I did the gag, you know, where you pinch the nose off their face and hold up their nose like that and show it to them, and then you put it back on their face and reattach their nose. And when I did that, they giggled and they squealed, and as soon as I pulled their nose off, they wanted it back on, and so I stuck it back on. I'm not sure whether they were just enjoying the attention or if they really believed I was yanking the nose off their face. But they seemed genuinely gullible. Little kids and carnal Christians are prone to be extremely naive.
Thanks for joining us as we study through the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians here on Sandy Adams Radio. In these two letters to the church in Corinth, the Apostle Paul encourages his readers to embrace their imperfections and their weaknesses. It's in those moments of weakness that Jesus reveals himself to us and enables us to do things we thought were never possible before. His strength contrasts perfectly with our weaknesses. If you want to encounter Jesus in a new way, there's nothing better than gathering in person with like-minded believers. If you're in the Atlanta area, we'd love to invite you to join us at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain. We meet on Sundays at 9:15 and 11:15 a.m. You can find more information by visiting us online at sandyadams.org and heading to the About tab to access the Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain page. Now, Pastor Sandy is going to close us out with a special opportunity for anyone looking to immerse themselves in God's Word.
Imagine taking a year to focus completely on God's Word, grow in your faith, and be trained for ministry. That's what awaits you at Calvary Bible Institute South. Surrounded by the scenic beauty of Stone Mountain, Georgia, you'll receive sound biblical teaching from pastors and hands-on ministry training. Apply now for the fall 2026 semester at cbisouth.com. That's cbisouth.com.
Thank you, Pastor Sandy. And thank you, listeners, for listening today to Sandy Adams Radio.